and chapter number 5. 2 Kings and chapter number 5. This concerns a man called Naaman. Verse 1, now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and honourable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance into Syria. He was also a mighty man in valour, but he was a leper. And the Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid. And she waited on Naaman's wife. And she said unto her mistress, would God, my lord, were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy. And one went in and told his lord, saying, thus and thus said the maid that is of the land of Israel. And the king of Syria said, go, and I will send a letter unto the king of Israel. And he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver and 6,000 pieces of gold, and 10 changes of raiment. And he brought the letter to the king of Israel, saying, now, when this letter is come unto thee, behold, I have therewith sent Naaman my servant to thee, that thou mayest recover him of his leprosy. And it came to pass, when the king of Israel had read the letter, that he rent his clothes and said, am I God to kill and to make alive, that this man doth send unto me to recover a man of his leprosy? Wherefore consider, I pray you, and see how he seeketh a quarrel against me. And it was so, when Elisha, the man of God, had heard that the king of Israel had rent his clothes, that he sent to the king, saying, wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes? Let him come now to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel. So Naaman came with his horses, with his chariot, and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. And Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. But Naaman was wroth, and went away, and said, behold, I thought he will surely come out to me, and stand, and call on the name of the Lord his God, and strike his hand over the place, and recover the leper. Are not Abana and Pharpar, rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned and went away in a rage. And his servants came near and spake unto him and said, my father, if the prophet had bid thee do some great thing, wouldst thou not have done it? How much rather then, when he saith to thee, wash and be clean? Then went he down and dipped himself 7 times in Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. And maybe we'll leave the reading there just for the sake of time. It's very interesting, the rest of the story, but we want to just concentrate on this man, Naaman. And you might think, well, what has this Old Testament story got to do with me in 2025? I trust that you'll see that God is teaching us some very important lessons from this, just as he had to teach Naaman as well. And there are 4 things that I want to just draw out from this story. I want to think first of all of Naaman and his diagnosis, a diagnosis that was deadly. Then secondly, I want us to notice this little maid in the story. And we want to see the message of the maid, this message that she had. Thirdly, I want to see a preacher. A prophet he was. We're going to call him a preacher. A preacher and the plan that he had for Naaman. And then finally, I want us to see the remedy that was found in the river. So those are the 4 things that we're just going to focus our minds on. First of all, this man Naaman and the diagnosis that he got. You know, it tells us 5 things about this man. Very importantly, it tells us that he was the captain of the host of the king of Syria. Now, what that simply means is he was really the commander or the captain of the army. Probably in today's terms, his title would have been commander or captain of the land forces of Syria. That was a very vital and important job that he had. He had a big job. Secondly, it tells us that he was a great man with his master. He was the model employee. He was honourable. Thirdly, Fourthly, it tells us that God had used him, through him had given deliverance into Syria. And fifthly, he was a mighty man in valor. He was a brave man. He was a big man. You didn't mess about with Naaman. And so these five things build up a profile. People talk today about their profile. Well, here was Naaman's profile. Five things that really elevated this man to really a top man, you would call him. But then I want you to notice five words that really put a big cloud over absolutely everything that he is. But he was a leper. Brave man. But he was a leper. Captain of the army, but he was a leper. Model employee, yes, but he was a leper. You're getting the message now that these five words are changing everything. A life changer. And therein lies, dear friend, the first lesson that I want you to learn this evening. Because in my Bible, this disease of leprosy, not something that we would come across commonly today in our land. But I want to tell you very simply that it's a picture, this disease, of what sin is. Always in the Bible, leprosy is a picture of sin. Now, we want to make clear, sin is not a disease. The healthiest person in Britain today is born with the problem of sin. And I want to tell you that such an accurate picture of sin is leprosy. Because left to itself, the person will die. Secondly, it's infectious. A leper had to stand apart and live apart from the rest of society because it rendered them unclean. Unclean. And thirdly, such was leprosy, it affected the body by wasting it away. The limbs, the hands. And you know, isn't that so like sin? The problem of sin in the world today. Sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. That's the ultimate end of sin. And another thing is this, sin makes a person unclean. The Bible says we are all as an unclean thing. Even all the best things that you can bring to God, as you look at the holiness of God in his purity and perfection, the Bible says all our righteousnesses are but as filthy rags. You ever seen a filthy rag? I have a few of them in the garage. They're useless for really most things. You don't try and clean something with a filthy rag, do you? For it'll only get worse. You see, we're unclean before God. And another thing is this, just like leprosy, you know, sin wastes a person. You know, I think that's one of the saddest things about a person who's not saved, still in their sins. Not only are they perishing eternally, but their life is being wasted. Wasted in this world. There's people today, and they're wasting their life and their time on the frivolous pleasures of this world. They'd be far rather tonight sitting with their PlayStation in a world of imagination, frittering away their time instead of thinking about their soul, thinking how they could have a life that's useful for God. Oh, sin wastes a person. And I want to tell you this evening, there's three words that change everything for us all, no matter who we are. You're the most educated person in Oxford. But you come under these three words found in Romans chapter 3. All have sinned. There is no difference, for all have sinned. You say, I'm successful in my job. Yes, but you're a sinner. You say, I've a lot of letters after my name. That may be so, and that's admirable. But listen, you're a sinner. And I know that because God says you are. And it's a deadly diagnosis. But listen, my friend, could I say to you kindly,
until you accept the diagnosis and realize what you are in the sight of God, you'll never, like Naaman, look for the cure. Never. You'll never see the benefit of the cleansing until you realize I'm defiled in the sight of God. Oh, get a look at what you are before God tonight. Everything that Naaman was, you know, here was a man, and he was used to winning battles. And in just a short space of time, he comes up against an enemy, and he has no answer for it. Leprosy. And he's facing an enemy in a battle in which he is hopeless and helplessly lost. And you know, that's just us with sin. Sin drags a person down. Let me just illustrate it. Craig and I were coming to the meeting the other night, and we were just driving along that road there in the sun, beautiful it was, and we noticed a big plane overhead. And I recognised it. I said to Craig, just watch what happens here. And sure enough, as we were coming up to the roundabout, five little specks appeared out of the plane. Started falling. Five men. Now let me ask you a question. As we watched them, what was happening to them? They were falling towards the ground. And they were under the law of gravity. Greg will tell you more about this, he's the physics teacher. But listen, it's simple. They were under the law of gravity. You'll all agree with that. Had they remained under the law of gravity, what would have happened? They would have without doubt hit the ground to their death. No doubt about that. But after about 5 seconds, you know, the little black speck got bigger. Something happened. What was it? Parachute opened. We're all used to seeing that round Bicester. Parachute opened. And what happened now? Well, if you had looked closely, you would have seen them being just dragged up ever so slightly. And now they don't fall so fast. They fall gently. And they just go down. And safely they land in a safe place. You see what happened to the law of gravity that was pulling them down to their death? Oh, there was another law came in. It's called the law of drag, I understand. And that overcome that which was taking them to their death and pulled them up. Do you see, that's what gave them safety. Now, it's just a faint illustration, but let me tell you, you see, that's just when they come out of the plane, that's just like you and I as sinners. We're linked to Adam, and in our sins, the sin that we have will just drag us down to death and hell and destruction, without doubt. Sin, when it is finished, it brings forth death. But you see, the moment a person puts their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, could I say proverbially, the parachute opens. And I tell you, there's a new power comes in. And that's what brings them safely to heaven and lands them safely on the other side. Oh, says the Apostle Paul in Romans 8, he describes it. He says, the Spirit of life which is in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Therefore, there is now no condemnation. You see the picture. Now, the question for you tonight is, where do you stand? Are you like coming out of the plane and you're going straight down? Or has there ever been a time when you have come under the power of Christ, you trusted him, the parachute opens, you're safe? And you know, I was thinking, you'll pardon me for pushing the illustration, you could have just written over that parachute the word grace. Oh, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. I tell you, salvation's a real thing. Salvation's life-changing. And here was Naaman, and he was being dragged down by this diagnosis, leprosy. There was no hope. It was certain death. And then he got a message from the most unexpected place. A little maid. Insignificant. Probably never give her a second look. But you know the amazing thing? God was starting to work with this man and teach him that if he ever was going to be saved, he was going to have to get rid of his pride. And you see, it tells us that this little maid, she was the very person that Naaman had brought captive. And yet, it's through her he's going to be set free. See how God works? Before a man is lifted up, he must get down. He must be stripped of his pride. And here's a little maid. We don't know her name, but we know this. She was in touch with God. She knew to direct Naaman to the man of God, whereby he could hear the good news of how he could be saved. You know, you've come tonight, and you've just come to listen to two simple men. They're nothing. As far as Bicester is concerned, nobody really knows about it. As far as this world is concerned, we're unknown names. Maybe to a handful of people in Scotland, Northern Ireland, that might know us. But we're really nobodies as far as this world is concerned. But I tell you what we're here to do, to direct you to Christ. I thank God that we have that privilege this evening. And we've been entrusted with this great message. And if there's anything great about us, it's only because of the man that we talk about and the message that we have for you. We're nothing without Christ, you know. The only reason that we're saved is because of Christ. The only reason that we're here tonight is because of Christ. Because in loving kindness, Jesus came my soul in mercy to reclaim. From the depths of sin and shame, grace, he lifted me. I want to tell you, friend, it's the same grace that will lift you. If you're humble enough to acknowledge your problem, but he was a leper, but you are a sinner. Have you ever told God that you're a sinner? Have you ever told God that you're a guilty sinner and you only deserve his judgment eternally? That's when you'll get saved. The message of the maid sends Naaman to this man, Elijah, the prophet. But he's still a lesson or two to learn. Why? Because you see, when he came to Elisha, he came to his house with the letter and the chariots, changes of clothes, and a whole host of things. As far as he was concerned, if there was going to be a cost involved, he could pay for it. If it was based on how he looked, I tell you, he had some wardrobe. I'm thankful tonight salvation's not based on our wardrobe, how we look. It's not based on what's in my bank account. Thank God there's salvation for all. But that didn't appeal to Naaman when he heard it. In fact, there's a very shocking thing happens in this story every time I read it, and it's this. Elisha didn't even come out of his house. He sent a message to him. Say what? You know, if somebody here in the tent was interested in speaking about the gospel, Craig and I would be making a big effort to sit down with them. We wouldn't maybe just be sending someone else to speak to them. We want that personal. Why did Elisha do that? I tell you why, because he knew this man's heart and he was directed by God. And this man had to be stripped of pride. He thought that Elisha would come out and make a whole fuss of him. And that he was looking for special treatment. I've told you before, dear friend, God has no favourites. There's no special treatment. It's the same cure for all. And Elisha was determined that he would not get involved in flattering. We're not here to flatter you tonight. We're here to present you with the truth, and we must be faithful. That's why we're not dressing it up. You're a sinner in the sight of God. You've no hope without Christ. You'll end up in hell in the lake of fire. We're not here to flatter you tonight. The world will flatter you. They'll tell you you're a great person. Not to worry about these things. And think of, listen. But what we are here to tell you is how you can be saved. If it was that we're only telling you the diagnosis, you would be going away depressed. But listen, we're here to tell you how you can be saved and sure of heaven. We're here to tell you how you can be sure you'll never be in the judgment of God in hell. It was designed for the devil and his angels. God never willed that anyone would be there. And he wants to save you this evening. So, Naaman got the news. Very simple. He says, go wash in the Jordan 7 times and you'll be clean. Not complicated, is it? No, simple. But it didn't appeal to the ego of this man. Do you know what the ego is? Without going into technical language, it's a Greek word that's found in the New Testament. And do you know how many letters it has?
One.
Do you know what word it is?
I.
But Naaman was wroth and went away and said, "Behold, I thought." How many people have missed salvation because of those words? "Behold, I thought." I thought it would be this way. I have a different idea. I am thinking of other rivers. I am thinking of what I think should be done. But you see, before ever Naaman was made clean, he had to get his eye off I. And he had to come and realize it's what God says. He had to get to the other eye. What's that? Listen to John 14, verse 6. "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto God the Father but by me." So his servants speak to him. He's in a rage. They plead with him. "Listen, Naaman, if God had bid you do some great thing, would you not have done it?" Sure he would. Had God asked him for 1,000,000 pieces of silver, he would have done his best to pay for it, and then he could have taken the credit and the glory. God's asking him to go to the River Jordan. Why the River Jordan? The dirty Jordan. No, it's even more than that. If you look at a map, the River Jordan, where does it end? It ends in the Dead Sea. The Jordan ends in death. And I want to tell you, just as with Naaman and with you, the answer to your problem is the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. He goes down into the Jordan 7 times, up, down, 1, 2, 3, 4, still a leper, 5, still a leper, 6, still a leper, 7. Comes up. Leprosy's gone. Just like he was before. No. Oh no. God doesn't just put you back the way you were before. No. His flesh was like that of a child. I tell you, salvation makes a complete and utter change. You say, why did he have to go down 7 times? Could God just not have healed him? Sure he could. But God wanted to see that this man was prepared to accept his word. And if you know anything about the Bible, 7 is the number of completion. In other words, this was going to be something that was complete, a complete cure. He would be dipped, he would go under, and it would be a complete cleansing of the person. And that's just what happens with you when you put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because upon the cross, we want to take you to another river. It's not the River Jordan, it's the river of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it starts at Calvary's cross and it flows down through all the centuries, right to 2025, and millions have come to it and they have been cleansed. What is it, the river? What is it that cleanses? Listen to the verse. "The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin." And there's never been a person that's come to that river yet that hasn't had complete and full cleansing. Why? Because of the power of the blood of Christ. Let me tell you, it's precious blood. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses from all sin. It's powerful blood. My friend, tonight, if you come and put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, what you're in effect doing, you're bathing in that great river that has streamed from Calvary. And what you're doing is this: by accepting Christ as Savior, you're having your sins cleansed, and God declares you righteous. And so no longer are you under sin and death, plunging towards hell and destruction. But in a moment of time, trusting Christ, you're lifted up. And I tell you, you're safe now, and you're safe forever. Why? Because he says, "I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish." You see, it's the Spirit of life. It's the Holy Spirit that enters, and I am born of God. Oh, I tell you tonight, don't go another moment on the road that you're on, but just take God at his word. That's what Naaman did, you know. He had to come to the point where he just believed what God said. He trusted the word of God,
He trusted God and his provision, and he was made clean. The remedy in the river. I want to tell you tonight, the remedy is in Christ. Trust him, and you too will be made clean and have eternal life forever. May God bless his word. Thank you.